The title of this message is Doers of God's Word. Doers of God's Word. And this comes out of the first chapter of James, especially. It says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Well, the thing about it, that from our perspective and from the church situation today, you have to be hearers in order to be doers. You can't be doing something that you don't hear. So we have to hear the truth first before we can do the truth. You can't hear something false and expect to do the truth because it's not going to work. But anyway, I have mentioned this a number of times, but it's important that we keep this in our minds. The word "and" in John 17:3, where it says, eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Well, the word "and" is it can be an addition word, where we say, well, four and four, you know, or four and five. Well, they're not the same number, and so the word "and" is a, would we call it a conjunction? It's a conjunction word in between, and so it makes a separation. So when it says eternal life is to know thee, the only true God, and he's not going to say and another God. It's an and something else. And so we have to understand that the Trinity or some of the theories that people have come up with are not based upon the scriptures and or even the common sense of the words. And so since eternal life depends upon us knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ, then it's important that we figure out that we've got two distinct things that we have to know. We have to know the person of God, and we have to know the person. Well, can we say person? I don't even know. But can God be labeled as a person? Although it does say it in the scriptures, it does refer to him as a person. And so anyway, Jesus said, the Father is greater than I am. And so we know then that there's a distinct distinction between the two that we need to recognize. And even though it does say that being found equal to God, or something, I don't know how it's worded. Pardon?
Thought it not robbery to be.
Oh, yeah, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he took upon himself the form of a servant or something. But anyway, something that I woke up with this morning is the fact that the parable that Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 21, verse 30, it's 38 is what I want to emphasize. But in this parable, Jesus refers to himself as an heir. And as a matter of fact, in Romans 8:17, we are referred to as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Does that give us a distinction or not? See, that's a major, major thing. And in Hebrews 1:2, it says that Christ was appointed to be an heir of all things. And no wonder Tertullius said, you know, that men go mad trying to prove the Trinity by the Scriptures. And so to insist upon believing in the Trinity would have to be in the willing to be ignorant category, the willingness to be ignorant. You know what I mean? It talks about the willingly ignorant. See, Christ is continually referred to as an heir, and so are his disciples. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a major, major thing. It's not just a small illustration. I'm a little dizzy tonight, and so I'll do the best I can. And so again, we'll get back to the message, the doers of God's word. And so it says that we are to be doers of the word of God. in James 1:22, and not hearers only. And you know what it says? Deceiving yourselves. See, we can be deceived by just being hearers and not being the doers. I appreciated some of the comments this morning. As a matter of fact, I appreciated all of the comments. And because there is a growth taking place in us that maybe we're not even aware of. You know, the Bible says the kingdom comes without observation. Well, the word of the kingdom, and I mean the Bible calls the Bible the word of the kingdom, is beginning to develop in us, and it's changing our insides so that we are becoming something that's different than what we were. But since it comes without observation, we can't always see the change that's taking place in us. The only one that can see it is God himself. And so, you know, like John 3, where it says that that eternal life is to know the Father and the Son, and yet we ignore what we hear and we read, and what we read, and we try to imagine both the Father and the Son in different roles than what is clearly stated. Now, throughout the Scriptures, God has described himself and defined himself. And Jesus came to declare the Father, the Bible says. And so the only begotten Son that is in the bosom of the Father, he came to declare the Father. And since he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and yet we know that the Bible says that he was the express image of the invisible God. So, you know, we've got to take all of the Scriptures into account. We can't just read one here and there and come up with a right and accurate doctrine. We are told that certain doctrines are the truth, even though we cannot clearly see them within the Scriptures. And this is where we say, And so men read and hear, or hear the Scriptures, that plainly tell us that Jesus is a man like we are, and yet the doctrine of the church that we go to, or the, you know, that somebody goes to, tells them that Jesus is God. And so that clearly in the Scriptures, it makes it plain that Jesus is a man. But you go to a church, and in the church it says that Jesus is God. So what do you do? What do you do with this, it's a major discrepancy. What do you do with it? And so, which automatically, it brings confusion to people, since we have to ignore almost all of the Scriptures in order to believe, you know, that believe in the Trinity. We have to ignore a lot of the Scriptures. And so, it appears as though if men want to be deceived by the devil, God allows it. If you want to be deceived, go for it. And so God allows men to see a few Scriptures that they are able to twist so as to sort of say what their false doctrine says. Been there, done that. I spent years in that group. However, I just heard this Scripture in Hebrews 2:3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was taught by Jesus himself, and then by those that heard him and confirmed what he had to say. And so it was first taught by him. And so what about the fact that it is important that Jesus is man, and that we can see it in the Scriptures? Is it a vital issue? Well, something came up today, and I'm going to reiterate on it a little bit. And we're talking about the persecution that comes upon the church. And the persecution that I saw in the dream 50 years ago was not a little thing. It was major. And I don't know how I handled it. I don't know how anybody. I know that I was petrified in the dream, if you can be petrified in a dream. I was scared. And so I have thought over the years that it'll be that the real church is going to be persecuted by the world or by whatever. And now I'm beginning to understand, because God has made plain, so clear to us, the identity of the Son, that he is a man, and why he is a man, and that we are to be heirs together with him, joint heirs together with Christ, and that when he appears, we're going to be like him, and all of the other statements that are made, that the truth of who Jesus is going to be the issue. is going to be a major issue. And so what are we going to do? Are we going to preach the truth? Or are we going to just fall prey to the church and say, well, if that's what they want to believe, that's what we let them believe it. What do we do? And I'm saying when God raises you up and tells you what to say, you better say it. You know what I mean? Whether people like it or don't like it. And so, is that not, you know, this where it says that you know, that how can we escape if we neglect or ignore such a great salvation? Well, how can we escape if we find some truth like this one, which is a major, major truth, if we neglect it or ignore it? Something has happened. Okay, I'll turn to say this without the tape, but I will say it as carefully as I can. But a lot of people on the outside, and God bless you, are somehow hearing these messages. And I don't know how they're hearing them or if they're hearing them secondhand or what. But anyway, there has been a real, not opposition, but a kind of, it's like just a fear to be associated or have any contact with me. You know what I mean? And so I've seen people do some strange things. But in lately, this thing has reversed. And so whether this is, people are beginning to understand this doctrine, maybe it's having some effect somewhere. Maybe they're looking at the scriptures instead of the church. I don't know. But I have seen some overly friendly people that were not so friendly 6 months ago. So explain that. Are they starting to look for themselves? Hopefully they are. Maybe they're like the Bereans. You know, it says those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica. And I think, you know, they searched the Old Testament because that's all they had, to see if what Paul said was the truth. And it says they were noble because they searched the scriptures, because they didn't go and just believe everything Paul told them. And I thought, you know, doesn't the Bible tell us that we have a more sure word of prophecy? It didn't say that? That the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy, and that would even come when it applied to Paul. The word of God was already established. And so Paul used the Old Testament scriptures to preach the gospel. Isn't that strange? We would use the New Testament today. He used the Old, because the New wasn't written yet. And so I'm saying, how shall we escape if we let the devil twist God's words of eternal life? You know how it says in John, 1 John 4:3? It says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Well, what does that mean? How about these scriptures that we have that are up on the wall behind me? God's will is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What do you do with that scripture? Suppose that was the only one in the Bible like it. Still, what do you do with it? It is the same in all translations. What do you do with that verse? So how shall we escape if we let the devil twist even that one scripture to make it say something else? And it says the Antichrist is going to make him into something besides a man. How shall we escape if we allow the devil, men and devils, to turn the Lamb of God, the man Christ Jesus, into someone who God never set up? God did not set up a God. Could he have? God can do whatever he wants. But he didn't. He set up a man. And now it has become very obvious to us. You know what? We got a problem. We do. We have a major problem. Even bigger than whatever problems that some of you may have. You know what I mean? This is a big problem. We now are starting to know the truth. And if you know the truth and you keep it to yourself, is that not a problem? However, at this point, you don't say too much about the truth or it'll get you in trouble. Unnecessary trouble. See, God brought forth his only begotten man, son, with blood that was to be shed by the, for the remission of the sins of all of mankind. Does it matter? However, and as the devil always has seemed to do, the devil, the Antichrist, or the devil who pretends to be Christ, that's what the Antichrist means, has painted an unscriptural image of God's Son within the minds of many people. So we have, how many times have I said that? You know what? This won't be the last time, probably. But there's an unscriptural image that the devil has painted in the minds of a lot of people so that they can't help. All they can see when they see the Son of God is all they see is God. They can't see him in the light of the Scriptures. As a result, many people will lose their souls, and which is why the Bible says that many are called, but, and here's what I'm going to say, if they refuse to become doers of God's Word, they will not be chosen. How's that? Am I stepping out of line? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, why are only a few chosen? Is it a possibility because they refuse to become doers and they want to be hearers only? You see, to most of today's churchgoers, the identity of God's only begotten Son is not really an issue. I know some. And when we began to see it, and it was so plain in the Scriptures, I know some people that said, well, I can't really see that it's a big issue. What difference does it make whether you believe in him as a God or as a man? And, however, if we as we allow our number one delight in life to be or become the eternal Word of God. That, when it says that in Psalms, at first you miss it. Whose delight? It's not one of his delights. It is his delight. See, blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God, and he listens to it day and night. Blessed is that man, and God will bless him, and bless him, and bless him, and bless him. And so, we begin to delight in the eternal words that God left for us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to lead and guide us. Into all truth, or into whatever truth that we can accept and acknowledge, it begins to become obvious why John 17:3 tells us that eternal life depends upon whether we accurately know the one true God and that we know his Son whom he has sent. Eternal life depends on it. And that's why Daniel said, and they that do know their God, it says, in other words, there are some that don't, but they who do know their God, they're going to be different. What are they going to do? They're going to do exploits. See, and they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's what it says. And since Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why did he word it like that? It's like that in about three of the translations where he asked him, and each of the disciples copied it the same way. Why did he say, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Couldn't he have worded it some other way? Isn't it kind of obvious that he's the Son of Man? And did it matter? And as such, does it matter today when men say, or what men say, and especially since the Scriptures are so very clear? But, lest we get conceited in our own ignorance or whatever, if God hadn't revealed it to us by the Scriptures, we wouldn't know it either. You know what I mean? So except God reveal a truth, you don't get it. And so the thing that blesses me is the fact that even the handful of people that are here are beginning to understand the Scripture and believe the Scripture. You know what? When I first started listening to the scripture, I can't say I really believed the scriptures, because I have been taught so many possibilities and probabilities and additions and subtractions, and you know that you can't actually. Some of the scriptures are not right, and some of the translations are better than other translations. And it's like, okay, you tell me, who decides whether one translation is better than another one? Don't men decide that? And are men known for being right? You know what I mean? And so, I have heard for years, the best translation is the King James. Is it? It doesn't matter. I have discovered that there are other translations that are just as accurate. And when it comes to major, major issues, like the identity of the Son of God, we have so many scriptures in all of the translations that are the same, that paint him as a man, that we would be fools if we thought of him as something else. And as I looked at the 17th chapter of John, in all of my available translations, they all say the same thing. Now, see, I've never looked that translation up before. You know, I've looked up that setting, that scripture setting. I've looked up other ones to see how they are worded. But all of the available translations that I have paint John 17:3 as exactly the same. Eternal life is to know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, with the word "and" separating the one true God from the one that God sent. He didn't send himself. He didn't send his equal. He sent somebody who was, you know, the greater sends the lesser. Isn't that the way it works? And if God had sent another God equal to himself, I think it would be made pretty plain somewhere in the scriptures. If he's co-equal and co-eternal, then why wouldn't he just send himself? And would not the one with the greater authority send the one with the lesser authority? Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I am." From the scriptures, it is very clear that God made Christ into whatsoever he became, which goes against the idea that Christ always was and always will, and whatever it says about him, or that people say about him. And so I have discovered that God's word is very clear as to who both the Father and the Son really are, except unless, of course, men favor their inherited traditions, and that's what they do. They have inherited traditions, and they refuse to search God's word diligently to discover truth. Now they got a problem, don't they? The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched the word of God daily. I said diligently, but the word is daily, to see if what Paul told them was the truth. Well, what if people hear what I'm saying? And they keep hearing these scriptures, and every week we come up with a new scripture, or at least almost every week, and we got hundreds of scriptures that tell us that Jesus Christ is a man. And why? That he's an heir. And that we are going to become joint heirs with him. An heir to what? Well, how about whatever it is that God wants us to become heir to? Of course, I don't understand all of these things, because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into my heart. I don't know what all of the things God has in mind for us. And whereby, when men favor their own traditions, they would be refusing to receive a love for the truth. Where does a scripture like that all of a sudden come into being? One scripture. Because men refuse to receive a love for the truth that they might be saved. Is that an isolated scripture? Not really. The scriptures tell us that over and over and over and over. It's just that one is a plain one. You know, if you don't receive a love for the truth, then be careful about your salvation. And so, whereby, if they don't receive a love for the truth, they might become those who are called, but not chosen. I began to understand this. So it's like we become free, made free in area after area after area. I began to understand what he meant. Why some are called, or why many are called, but only a few are chosen. Because you could backslide what you're called. You can turn your mind over to all kinds of other things. As such, they would become those who read or hear God's word, but don't actually do it. Or how do men work out their salvation with fear and trembling when they are not concerned about the truth? If you're not concerned about the truth, how do you do it? Somebody tell me. How do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling if you aren't really concerned about the truth? Yeah, you couldn't do it. So when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? You know what? He had a legitimate question. It was a legitimate question. And I'm beginning to understand, since there was no way that Pilate could have grasped the significance of truth, even if he heard it, he wouldn't have understood anyway. And Jesus didn't try to clear it up for him. He says, you know, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And it's like, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, that's not a good saying, but. And so, he wouldn't have understood the truth even if he would have heard it. And as far as the Bible is concerned, truth is such a major issue so that the Creator brought a man's son forth so as to spend a lifetime bearing witness to the truth. And so he speaks the truth to those that he came to save, specifically the Jews. And what do they do with him, with the truth? They reject it. What does that tell us? Be careful. You know what I mean? Be careful. These were some smart boys. They weren't just these are the cream of the crop. And so whatever God put in his mouth to speak, that's what he spoke. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. See, if Christ would have been a co-equal, whatever, would he have to be told what he should say? Wouldn't he know ahead of time what to say? And since we are told to go by every word that proceeds from God's mouth, and yet the Trinity, poor Trinitarians when they hear these things, because it's gotten to the point where it's not even funny anymore. It cannot be found anywhere within God's word. Is there not a major problem somewhere? How many times have I said that? You know what? You keep saying it until it registered with people. And even though we know it, we all know it here, I am glad and thankful for the handful of people that listen to me week after week and some of the same things over and over and over and over. But I don't know that everybody that listens to these tapes are hearing it over and over. See, the voice informed me, or enlightened, how would that be? That the only place I would ever find God was in the word that God spoke, which is the word of God, the Bible. And that word does not have any evidence of the Trinity anywhere within it. There is no evidence. No wonder Tertullian said, you go mad trying to prove the Trinity from the Bible. And it's like, what do you use then? If this is a more sure word of prophecy, what do you use? Well, I'll tell you, I have understood something over the years, more recently especially, and that is the fact that we have said that men have been prophets. And so prophets arose in the early centuries, and they began to proclaim the Trinity. And so that what they had to say was as equally as important as what the Scriptures say, because that is actually dogma of the church. That is, you know, that is the truth from the church. So anyway, Peter asked the Jews, He says, are we to go by what you say or what God says? And my question is, do we go by what the church says or by what the Bible says? I didn't know that. When I was informed of this, I was a totally ignorant ignoramus, if whatever you can say, and not that I'm still not, but... And so I asked the same question. Do we go by the foolish doctrines of the churches, or do we go by this word that God has kept as it is for centuries? What do we go by? Are you following what I'm saying? And so faith comes by hearing, but it comes by hearing God's truth. And while most churchgoers have no real relationship with God's word, so they are only able to relate to God's words of eternal life through church filters that the devil has conveniently provided for them. So the churches have filters, and they hear the word of God, but it goes through a filter. Are you understanding what I say? I worked with filters as a cameraman in the printing industry. And so anyway, when they do read or hear the scriptures, they do so with eyes that are not able to see and ears that are not able to hear. And I can understand this, so since I spent so much of my life with defective ears and eyes. See, each church organization has its own type of filters provided by the enemy so as to rob the love for the truth that God plainly requires men to have. Are we to have a love for the truth or not? And God requires it. And so God calls many into his great kingdom. However, because many refuse to come out of the false doctrines and separate themselves unto God only, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, many will find themselves in the reject column. There's going to be a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and I can understand why. All your life, you spend an entire lifetime in a false doctrine setting, never hearing the truth, and now you come face to face with the God of all truth. Is there going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth? And so they end up to be not chosen on the great day when God calls us home. And so God provides hints for us that he wants us to take seriously, like work out your own salvation, which should move men out of their comfort zones and into the Philippians 3:14 position where Paul said, here's what Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember that, John, Philippians 3. And so he said, in verse 15, this is in verse 14, verse 15, he says, let us as therefore as many as be perfect, or how about, since we know we're not perfect, how about who want to be perfect, be thus minded? That's what he said. As many as be perfect. Well, what about, let's change that. Let's say, or want to be perfect, or who God is perfecting. He said, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Well, we're not perfect. And I like what your rock star singer that you were talking about this morning had to say. God has chosen, has a perfect plan, but he has imperfect people in the plan. And that's the truth. And so we're supposed to be of the same mind where it says, where we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We press. We push. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so, which tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that God is looking for those who diligently seek him. It tells us in the 6th chapter, or Hebrews 11:6. And then Isaiah 66:2, it's God is looking for those who actually do tremble at his word. It doesn't say tremble at church doctrine, but those who tremble at his word. He looks to those. Which would mean that they believe it and receive it rather than the pathetic inherited doctrines of men. I have been so much a part of doctrines of the church. And oh, how thankful I am for the mercy of God that carefully pointed me on a straight course towards God's word of truth. Oh, I am so thankful. Lord, I thank you. Which allows me to have compassion on those who were not directed like I was. I was directed a direction. Of course, I suppose this is what Twyla saw, this is what Clarence saw, this is what people have seen, and even people have prophesied about a work that was going to take place. I don't believe that we have seen the revival yet in this area. I believe God's going to do a great revival. But it's going to be a revival for truth. It's not going to be a revival like we're accustomed to. And so, I don't see how you can be a part of a church that preaches against receiving the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and stay in that stupid church. I say that carefully, if that's, it doesn't sound careful, but... No, there's nothing careful about it. But I don't know how you can stay in a church that preaches against it. So I share my experience. Some believe me and some don't. That's not up to me. God does all things His way. And so whatever God does is right because it's His way. He does all things right. Years ago, a young lady from this church had a vision in which she saw exactly what is now happening, and yet she herself probably is not even able to relate to the vision that she had. And why? Because we are human, and thereby can easily lose what we once saw. However, that vision has certainly had has been a godsend for me. It has had a indelible impact upon me. I'm going to make a strange statement as if I don't make a lot of them, and some people will understand it. See, real faith comes by hearing God's word and truth, borne along by the Holy Spirit. That's how faith comes. As such, I'm not able to any longer relate to anyone who prefers church doctrine as equal to or above the eternal word of God. I can't relate. I've lost the ability to relate. They're not equal. They're not in the same category. Church doctrines have come over the years as they've been filtered in through demonic forces. And so, and yet, for people to embrace almost every doctrine that exists, they have to lower the scripture values within their hearts and minds below the level of whatever doctrine they embrace. They have to lower the level of the scriptures. It can't possibly have the same. I mean, I did it too. I can't condemn anybody. I can't judge anybody. Except for God's mercy, I would still be doing it. And so anyway, the constant intake of the Gospels, especially the Gospels, but also the New Covenant, has raised the value of God's Holy Word high above the church's pathetic theories within my heart and within my mind, and others that I know of as well. And why? Others that I know. God has raised the value of His Word within our hearts. Why? Faith comes by hearing the Word. What happens when you hear the Word? It raises the value of the Word. That's what faith does. And as the value of God's Word is raised by the Word itself, what happens? We begin to get an understanding of God that the world does not have. As far as the world or the church is concerned, God is like a man. He sits on a throne. You know, he's got a long white beard, and Jesus sits on the throne next to him. Or in some cases, they think he's one and the same. But see, God's word actually is quick. It says that in Hebrews 4:12, which means, you know, the word quicken means to arouse, to hasten, to revive, to begin to show signs of life, and so on. And as such, let's see if I can do this without spilling it. As such, a very strange thing has begun to take place within me and others who have begun to find their greatest delight in God's holy word. Something different has happened to us. We need to understand that when John 1:11 says that those that Christ came to save did not receive him, it actually meant they did not believe him. That's what it means. They didn't believe him, and therefore they couldn't receive him. And so, which was a great shame, since he only spoke the truth that God told him to speak. What he spoke was what God told him to speak, and they didn't receive it. So who didn't they receive? Wasn't it God they were not receiving? And so, in verse 12 it tells us, however, to those who did or do believe him or receive him, then do it, in James 1:22, God gives the power to become full-born sons of God, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. See? So some of those that God has called are not going to make it. And the reason is because they let the devil deceive them even after they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13 it says, this is in John 1:12, and in John 1:13 says, to those who are born of God, it says, and I'm going to put the word in, to those only who are born spiritually of God, must be born of the Spirit. I understand that. I'm starting to understand things in the Scriptures because the Scriptures are causing me to understand. It'd be a shame if we listened to the Scripture day and night for all these years and we still didn't understand anything. Of course we're going to understand something. However, most churchgoers are set out by organizations to promote things that end up making their proselytes more confused than they are. And why? Remember what it says, but you make a proselyte and he ends up to be two times more the son of hell, of the devil than yourself. And so they make a proselyte and he ends up to be somebody who is as confused as they are. And because they are not actually sent by God, but rather, and unbeknownst to them, are promoting things that will send their hearers to hell. They're not helping by promoting the doctrine that they sent, that they speak. And so God designed it so men would receive the Holy Spirit with tongues as the evidence, as his gift to men, so that they would have the necessary power or the ability, in some case things it says the ability, to become his true witnesses and therefore Christ's true disciples. You can't do it. I don't know how you can do it without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, from way back in Isaiah 28, it appears that the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, is the only way that you learn. You can't learn without receiving the Holy Spirit because it won't make sense to you. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak unto this people. It appears to me that unless you receive the Holy Spirit, but you know what? Even after they receive the Holy Spirit, you still got to come out of these crazy things that are not scriptural. After men receive the Holy Spirit, shouldn't the Word of God become their focus and not church doctrines? But you know, there's a lot of people that are deceived by it, and the doctrines of the churches become what they promote. And so what if men are programmed so as to believe that going to church, any church, is the answer? And people are, they're programmed. So they end up in a church that is opposed to tongues. What will they hear week after week? What are they going to hear week after week? Teachings on why tongues are not for today, and therefore the source of power from God is stolen from them. You follow what I'm saying? It's taken away. And worse yet, they will teach a false thing to their friends and to their children. And so this is a case where the wisdom of God has used something that seems foolish to men's natural minds, which is tongues. Now that's kind of foolish. Is it foolish? Anyway, it's something that seems foolish And yet it is the power gift of God that they need so as to accurately do what God wants them to do. And I say, this is ironic. That's ironic. Foolish things. God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. He does things that are crazy things. Just strange things. And yet he does it to confuse the wise. And so if you don't receive God's, the Holy Spirit, God's way, then you lose out that which God designed so as to lead and guide into all truth, or at least truth. I won't use the word all truth because I don't think we're capable of all truth. However, many of those at Azusa Street continue to embrace the unscriptural Trinity, and it dumbfounds me. It dumbfounds me. You know, some of these old timers that received the Holy Spirit and God was blessed them and everything was fine, but they continued to embrace the Trinity. Wouldn't the Holy Spirit have led and guided them into the Bible? They had access to it in those days. Why did they embrace something as crazy as the Trinity? And so, in the last few years, some in the churches that have opposed tongues have received the gift of tongues and yet have stayed within their churches in the false doctrine environments, which causes me to think that God will allow us to be deceived at whatever level that we allow the devil to deceive us. Do you follow me? And so to step into the realm of the Holy Spirit and yet refuse to come out from the unscriptural things and be separate unto God is maybe worse than not having the Holy Spirit revealing power in the first place. The more you know, the more you got to answer for. The more you receive, don't you have to answer for that much more? And of course, this is only speculation on my part. I mean, I don't know. Speculation. You know what? Speculation is worth not much. However, God did give men the gift of the Holy Spirit for a reason. And if I interpret Isaiah 28, especially verses 9 and 13 accurately, I would have to say that the gift of the Holy Spirit, which includes tongues, was given so as to bring men into a spiritual realm, whereas they would be able to receive spiritual things. See, the natural man, a minded person, is limited to the things that make sense to his natural mind. The natural-minded person is limited to the things that make sense to his natural mind. Do you understand that? And so, however, when someone is truly born from above, or born of the Spirit, born into the kingdom, whatever, something changes inside of their whole person. And I would say that even about people that just, within the churches that have an initial intake of God, and that they invite Jesus into their heart. However they do it, they do something. I would say there's a change that takes place immediately, even if it's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, like, remember the, who were the people in Acts that Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you heard? They said, we haven't heard about it. Well, what are you, how are you baptized then? Well, we were baptized into John's baptism, which is baptism of repentance. Well, it's like, well, then what you got to do now is receive the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? It's like you move then, if you don't have it, then you move to where you do have it. So when somebody is really born from above, something changes in that whole person until the Bible, which is of spiritual nature. And this is what it took time. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. They are spirit. The Bible is spirit. And it says even the law is spiritual. Why is it spiritual? Because everything in here was brought to us from God himself. He used men to do it, but it is still spiritual because God is spirit. And so somehow it makes sense whereas it never did before. So men are able to go from the natural into the spiritual. However, and this is what is sad, people can also go back into the natural if they're not careful. Carnal. you know, you are yet carnal. You know, while we spoke to the Corinthians, well, the Corinthians received the Holy Spirit. But he said, you're yet carnal. Because one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos. And you go, you're people. You're not of God, you're of people. And so we see so many examples within God's Word that God is not looking for part-timers or lukewarmers, but rather for those who are hot toward His Word and toward eternal life. As such, the lukewarm and the indifferent will end up as rejects. And the Bible says, spewed out of the Lord's mouth. While those who have allowed God to give them David's heart, that's one that is fixed on God, they will be ushered by the angels into God's kingdom. And so if men are content with this life, and maybe all that it may be all they will ever get. However, the faith that comes through the hearing of God's word will cause men to truly believe the word of God. And this is what is happening to us. I've noticed it in you guys. I mean, I've noticed it in myself, but it's like I believe God's word. I'm believing it. Every word in here, I believe it. I didn't before. I was taught not to. And so since God and so we are going to be able to be ushered into a place not made by human hands in the heavenlies. And see, men can't really do the real things of God unless they actually hear things God's way. And so while many churchgoers are asking God for a great end-time revival, and since God is going to finish His work in righteousness, which means truth, I would guess, should we not actually be asking God for a revival of truth? Shouldn't that be the thing that people should be asking God for? And which unfortunately, many in great false doctrines believe they already have the truth. And so if truth actually comes in a revival, and if we started preaching that Jesus is man, what do you think is going to happen? I think that's the pressure. That's where the real thing is going to happen. Until it will cause chaos within today's churches. That's what truth will cause. Chaos. Which many in false doctrine will call heresy. If they hear, well, Jesus is a man. That's heresy. Those guys are heretics. They don't know the scriptures. You know what the problem is? They do know the scriptures. And as such, we are not the first ones down through the ages that saw from the scriptures that God's only begotten Son was and is a man. They all, and you know what? They all paid a great price for it. I mean, well, are we going to? I don't know. Well, of all people, you and I should know that our warfare is spiritual. God showed us that it's spiritual. And against spiritual wickedness, and so we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so as the devil led the Jewish leaders 2,000 years ago, he now has some big boys in today's churches. There's some big boys. And so to come out from the big boys and believe the Bible is going to be a major challenge for a lot of people. And because people have so much confidence in their false doctrines, they will never concede without a major battle. It's not going to be an easy thing. And of course, without the scriptures, we too would think the battle is physical. But in 2 Corinthians 10:3, we are told that even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what it says. And so then it says in verse 5, and that's one of my favorites, it says casting down imaginations. And I'm saying, well, how about casting down unscriptural false doctrines? Is that in the same category? Imaginations. By the word of the eternal creator coming into us as a continual healthy spiritual nourishment, we are being transformed from unproductive imaginations, false doctrines, into revelations of truth that makes men free. Well, God bless you. I did it in an hour. Whoops, I did it wrong here again.